B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center for the Super Bowl. And this is creeping up. Patrice Bergeron and our show present Pucks and Paddles. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It is Thursday, February 7th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. Rich and I, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, Scott Zolak. VIP tickets are sold out, but general admission tickets are $50. For all the information and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com, and you can bid on players, and you will play ping pong with them. Obviously, you'll have access to the autograph session, and it's a very good time. Even if you just want to buy a general admission ticket for $50, the players are right up close and personal, and they're having a good time.
I'll be quite honest. I am shocked at who has the highest amount of bid right now. Like, who has the highest bid? It is not Patrice Bergeron, who it's been in the past. It is not Zdeno Chara. It is not Brad Marchand. Any guesses as who it is?
Well, the way you're talking about
Wagner,
no, I'm thinking it's going to be the boy, the idol, Jake DeBrusque. Yeah,
Jake DeBrusque by like $150.
What's his bid?
$800.
Someone likes themselves some Jake DeBrusque.
Nice. Somebody loves Jake DeBrusque.
Well, Jake DeBrusque after the thing last year played ping pong with my son. So he's down to hang.
Mm-hmm.
He's all aces in your book.
He is.
Are we still all the personalities at minimum bids?
Except for one of us. But there's...
that means Rich. That means Rich has it.
but there's only one person who doesn't have a bid, and that's Mark Bertrand. And I say that because get in on this. Like, yeah. Bid on Mark Bertrand because, you know, even if you don't even want to, like, do the ping pong with him, that gets you into the VIP session.
Well, so, in fairness, Rich has a $350 bid to our 300s.
Yeah, it's,
okay.
It's just,
well,
it's
we got to change that.
More. It's a little bit more,
right.
But it's more. But there's
just it's like a
some people want to you know rock with a champion.
That
you know?
Same, yeah, the champion,
or at least a
Rich and his wife are going to be a
partner. Well, my mother did actually bid one year.
Yes, she did.
She did.
Wow, that's funny.
Oh, mine did too. I'm not gonna promise.
She bid on you though because she just wanted to scold you the whole time, Fred, about your horrible views on religion.
Yes, indeed. You will believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mace of the Rainbow.
All right. So that is going on now. Go to 985thesportshub.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special guest lined up. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, this is the flagship station of the AFC champion New England Patriots. WBZ-FM and HD1 Buster 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots held a rally in Foxborough yesterday before their trip down here to Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. Team captain David Andrews is headed back home after playing his college football at Georgia.
Yeah, you know, it's unreal getting the chance to go home, play in front of a lot of my friends and family. Can't wait to see all y'all down there take over Atlanta, show them what a real fan base is down there. You know, so appreciate all y'all's support. You know, it wouldn't be the same if we didn't have y'all backing us each week, so we appreciate it.
Both the Patriots and LA Rams are here this morning. Both will meet the media tonight at State Farm Arena for opening night. And State Farm Arena, by the way, the home of the Atlanta Hawks. The AFC won its third consecutive Pro Bowl, 26-7 over the NFC in Orlando. Celtics entertain Brooklyn at TD Garden tonight. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Brooklyn needs just one more win to match their entire total from last season. Let the beating begin for Anthony Davis. The New Orleans franchise cornerstone has, according to ESPN, informed the Pelicans he will not sign a contract extension with them after the season and wants wants to be traded. And in golf, Justin Rose is your winner at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines by two shots. Tiger Woods finished 11 back after firing a 5-under-67 yesterday. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Recovery Centers of America, inpatient and outpatient addiction treatment in Danvers and Westminster. They'll take your call 24 hours a day. Call 1-800-RECOVERY or visit recoverycentersofamerica.com. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Hand off to White on the delay. Dumps it off for White. The left for White underneath. Breaks the tackle. Accelerates past the five.
James White plays on one station in Boston. Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sold. Tonight, the Patriots have a new owner. The New England Patriots are staying right here in Massachusetts.
Some people think it's pretty silly to spend so much money just for a game. My objective in doing this is to help bring a championship to New England.
Due to the various uncertainties surrounding my position as it relates to the team's new ownership, I've decided to resign as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Tom Brady at pick 198 goes to the New England Patriots.
48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good!
Staff to Brady, drops back, looks to the back of the end zone for Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots!
The Patriots have now agreed to terms with the Browns to trade for Josh Gordon.
Gordon on the outside of Hogan. Brady takes the snap, fires to the right. Pass caught by Gordon. Ducks under a defender, and he's tackled at the three. Tied at 40. Allen right knee down. The snap in play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle! A game winner for Gostkowski! And the Patriots prevail! 43-40! And these teams may very well meet again. Takes the snap, dropping back, feeling pressure, loads up and throws a long ball left for Robinson behind the defense. It's knocked by
it.
Jackson,
yes.
And intercepted by Harmon in the end zone! Woo-hoo-hoo. What a terrific recovery by the rookie J.C. Jackson and the reaction by Daron Harmon!
Josh Gordon just tweeted out this statement. Quote, I'll be stepping away from the football field for a bit to focus on my mental health.
Dorsett motions into the basket. Brady takes the snap of the play. Kick away. Firing down the middle. Yes. Edelman makes the catch on the run into the 20. And twisted down at the 15, but he rolled over a defender. Stay on his feet. Sprint into the end zone with a dive. Touchdown, Patriots.
Edelman.
Takes the snap. He drops to the knee, and the New England Patriots have won their 500th game as a franchise. They're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament.
The Chargers are the better team. So I got this game 30-27, Chargers win.
Phillip Rivers did exactly what I thought he would do, put the team on his back when it mattered. They're the more balanced team. This is my Super Bowl pick.
Hogwash.
Let's go! Let's go!
Give to Michelle, runs up the middle, turning forward, into the end zone! Michelle runs it right to the 10, angling right to the 5, to the pylon, diving, touchdown! Back in the pocket, throws a lot. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet?
I know, everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
There's going to be hell to pay for the Boston Patriots coming in here from Old England.
Give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. New England strikes first.
That's the way you open up an AFC title game on the road.
He's tripped up, and he's dropped back at the 37-yard line.
No field goal.
Trey Flowers in pursuit. Touchdown, Patriots!
What did I just tell you?
Throws it right underneath off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. It's picked off, and then the ball comes loose from Tarvarius Ward. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleve Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my. Offside. Keep it.
Wow. What's that?
And Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown! Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
Welcome to the Super Bowl!
Pretty cool.
Paperboy. Oh.
We're Toucher and Rich. We are on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. I lived here for 8 years, and I can't say I've ever been in this building. I worked at a bar down the street, but...
The Jocks and Jills, right?
Yes, this hour is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. Jesse James Dupree from Jackal. Also, he's got a American Outlaw bourbon whiskey that he was kind enough to give us bottles of.
He comes from the town you've heard me talk so much about, Kennesaw, Georgia.
Welcome to Dixieland, brother.
And if you want to see us, we are up on Twitch right now.
Thanks. Good to be back.
All right. So, okay. So, Jackal has the song, the Lumberjack song, yes, and Jesse brings out a chainsaw. And we have a mutual friend, Axel Lowe, and it was his birthday. And so Jesse gives him the chainsaw, and Axel proceeds to just stumble all over the stage. And you keep having to grab him and push him, like, in the right direction. And ultimately, he falls into the drum riser.
Into the drum kit and gashes his head open.
Yeah, and he gashes his head open.
So, yeah, leaves off the stage bleeding profusely like a professional wrestler.
So my question is, does that happen on any kind of regularity?
Yeah, just whenever you got close personal friends that come out. So I invite you guys to come and top that one, killer. So come on.
Because I'm thinking, if there's a chain on this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yes.
Because pretty much every show, take a stool out, and you, like, chop right through it with the chainsaw, right?
You know, I had someone post on Twitter yesterday or the day before. Somebody posted a venue that they'd walked into that we'd played years ago. And I'm like 20-plus years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like a beautiful old warehouse of a building and up in Tennessee. And I had, in the big beam that, you know, this beam that's, you know, an artifact, you know, just, you know, really nice old building. And I'd carved Jackal.
Was here.
I'd called Jackal, and then the date, you know, on the side of it.
I know the name of that bar. Is that the one that was on Powers Fair? What was the name? Charlie Magruder's?
No, I did that Charlie Magruder's. I did. Matter of fact, if you don't know that, I don't want to crunch you for time, but I'll tell you a quick story.
You have all time.
So the band Jackal's kicking. We're breaking, you know, breaking out, starting to get a reputation, and crowds are packing up. And we were packing Charlie Magruder's out. Charlie Magruder's is a legendary place here in Atlanta. It's no longer around anymore, but
sure.
Every band, as you know, every band in the world that came up through the ranks at one time or another played there. And the guy that owned it was a Vietnam vet, but he was just old hippie of a guy. And his name was Butch Weaver. God rest his soul. He just passed away about a year and a half ago. But the guy was a very excitable fellow. Did a ton of cocaine. I mean, the guy did it, so he was even more excitable, right? We had the sales and attendance record at this place, so I kept threatening. I said, one night I'm going to bring a chainsaw in here, and I'm going to cut this damn place up, because you've been in there. It's all wood.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the old kind of bar that had, you know, that had the part of the bar came down from the ceiling with the glasses and stuff, so there's a lot of wood there as well. And I said, I'm going to bring a chainsaw down here, and I'm going to cut this damn place up. And so one night when I knew we were going to set another record probably with sales and attendance, I went by the tool rental place, and I rented this chainsaw. I went in, asked the lady. I said, come to find out, I went to school with her son, Miss Pelfrey. Miss Pelfrey, hey, how you doing? I'd like to rent a chainsaw for you. So she rents me this big, gnarly-ass steel chainsaw, big, ugly thing with, you know, just been used a lot. I carry the thing. I go by Walmart, get me some mailbox letters, and put the name of the band on the side of the blade. I go down to McGrew's, and we're playing that night, and I'm grabbing a stool or a chair, and I'm cutting it and whatever, and Butch is just losing his mind, and the place just got more and more packed, and he goes, I'm finding you $200. I'm finding you $300. He's finding us, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going, good God, you know. But I ended up, he finally just got so out of hand, I ended up carving the name of the band above the bar. Just carved it in. And he just lost his damn mind. So the next day I carried the chainsaw back to the tool rental place, just kind of forgot about it and stuff. And my dad had happened to be in the audience that night. My dad says, you know, you need to keep doing that. And I said, yeah, well, whatever, you know, and I just kind of didn't think anything about it. Well, about 2 weeks later, my dad shows up to a show in South Carolina in a car. My dad always rode a Harley his whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up, and I'm like, why is Rip in a damn car? He opens up the trunk, brand new chainsaw, he went and got me.
He bought that for you, and that became your calling card.
And he gave it to me, so I had it laying around in the back of the truck still, but I eventually just started pulling it out and using it. We weren't playing a song. I was just mainly just raising hell with it.
Okay.
And then the record company guy that when John Collider came to see us, and he ended up signing us, I had pulled it out that night. He goes, you got to find something else to do with that. So, again, I was heading to another gig and driving this old piece of crap van that we had, and I'm sitting there in my head, and then I wrote the Lumberjack song, and we ended up recording him. And then the rest of the story is we recorded the record in the Captain and Tennille. You guys remember the Captain?
Oh,
and
yeah, Muskrat
yeah,
Love,
yeah,
my so, favorite band.
So we recorded the album in the Captain and Tennille's studio. And Canoga Park. Now that's where Appetite for Destruction was recorded with Guns N' Roses,
wow.
Motley Crue. Oh, matter of fact,
hang on, those were recorded in Captain and Tennille's studio.
Yeah, and so was our album. And right across the hall from us, that's where I saw my first Beatle. Because right across the hall from us was the Traveling Wilburys.
So Muskrat Love and Welcome to the Jungle were recorded in the same room.
Well, Captain and Tennille, infamous for their heroin consumption.
Wow. Well, let me tell you something. Tony Tennille, the sweetest lady in the world. The sweetest lady in the world. She'd come up, hugs for everybody, so sweet. The captain was a freak. I mean, the dude would, like, step into a closet to keep from interacting with anybody. Just a very strange face. She ended up, like, divorcing him for, like, alienation from affection or something. Or, you know, I mean, it was, like, in their later years.
Okay.
So we go into the studio and we're recording, and then so the damn Yankees, Ted Nugent, Tommy Shaw, they were down the hall in another studio. So we're all there. So Ted Nugent had his bows and arrows set up out back, and he was practicing his bow and arrow shooting in these bales of hay. He had his own bales of hay. And so I went and grabbed some of those bales of hay and took them into our studio, strode it out everywhere, and I drove about an hour north of L.A. and north of the valley, and came back with 40 chickens and roosters, and I just let them go in the studio. So the whole time that we were recording in the album, and I had this bales of hay, and I put most of the hay in this drum booth that we didn't use, because back in the 70s they put the drums in this little isolated booth, you know.
Yeah.
And so I put most of the hay in there, so at nighttime the chickens would all roost in that drum booth. And so but every night we'd do the Lumberjack song, and we'd do it live, you know, and we had, because that had to be captured, you know, as it goes down.
Dude, the hair era was the best.
Yeah, so we're out there, and Brendan O'Brien, you know, Brendan, yeah, yeah. Stone Temple Pilots,
Rage Against the Machine, Rage,
yeah.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
So Brendan's out there following me around. I'm playing the Lumberjack, and he's got a 414 microphone on the stand, and he's kind of just moving it around, following me, trying to hold it near the chainsaw.
Trying not to get sliced.
While I'm doing my thing. Well, if you listen to the end of the Lumberjack song, I throw the chainsaw down when we get finished, and he's chasing me with that microphone, and I'll just step right over into that drum booth, and I go, and there's a bop, 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 and all this chicken, and you hear those chickens roosting.
Wait.
They were literally, they were in the studio with us, so when you hear those chickens at the end of the record,
okay,
if you go back
this
and listen
to it.
Right,
right.
I mean, this is insane.
Okay. Okay. So you just gloss over. You're like, yeah, I went an hour outside the city and bought a bunch of chickens and let them loose in the studio. Okay, why? And then what did end up, like, what was going?
Well, first of all,
was it ever a mistake?
Because you got us. No, you ask a damn good question, because the plot gets thicker. So I go into the studio one day, and you got to remember the reason we bought those chickens and roosters, because it was so L.A. and it, we felt like, you know,
roosters were so L.A.
Monkeys humping a football. You know? so we go into the studio one day, and nobody would look at me. Everybody just kind of in the hall, just turning their head, whatnot. Hey, how you doing? Just, I mean, nobody talking to me. Get it back in there. And Tony Tennille comes over, and she says, she goes, may I speak with you for a minute? And I said, sure. How you doing, Tony? Just come back here. So we go back, and we go through this door. She shuts it. And then we go into this through this other door, and she shuts that. We get back into this other room, and she turns around, and she goes, shop, shop, shop. I said, what? She goes, shop, shop, shop. And I'm getting closer. I'm sorry, I can't hear. She goes, one of the chickens is dead. And I said, one of the chickens is dead. She was like freaking out.
She like freaking out. And now Pete is going nuts.
Yeah, she freaking out. She goes, you got to get those birds out of here. We don't want none of this. And I said, chickens just die. You know, I said, sometimes they just, I said, I got, where I come from, the farmer will step on three of them getting in to feed the rest of them, and I said, it's just a damn chicken, you know.
Oh,
and she's losing her mind. If this gets out, you know, we can't have this. You got to get them out of here. Please get them out of here.
Okay.
I mean, freaking out.
No.
So we go in, and I went to the pet store, and we bought these little pet box, these little travel boxes for cats and stuff.
Yeah.
And we boxed each one of them up individually, and I had them couriered down to the record company and given to each one of the executives. And the president of the company comes back from lunch, and there's this box sitting on his desk kind of jumping around. He opens up the box. The chicken jumps out and takes a dump right on his new carpet. All hell broke loose. I mean, seriously, I could just keep going to the stuff that we
okay,
did.
Okay, okay. So
we got to take a break. We'll okay, be back right. with more from Jesse James Dupree. He is in the Big Y world-class market chair. We'll return.
Tutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we are Tutcher and Rich. And we are joined by Jesse James Dupree, he of Jackal. Also, he was kind enough to bring us a few bottles of his Jesse James American Outlaw bourbon, which people are very excited about.
Guests who bring brown liquor are very welcome. Tutcher and Rich show.
There you go.
You might as well just give the bottles to me. We're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch this show live.
Okay, real quick, Jesse, because one of my biggest memories of you was when you talk about going to these clubs and just taking your chainsaw and right. Was the Tom Green show. Now, do you remember this? So the Tom Green show, he used to have a talk show for a while, and you came out with your chainsaw
right. And
chainsawed your name on the thing, and he hated it.
He was not happy.
So what happened there? Was all of that real? Was he truly pissed?
Sturgis is a big thing for us every year. This is the 79th year of the annual Sturgis Motorcycle Round. We have 600 acres out in Sturgis. We have, at the Full Throttle Saloon, Pappy Hoyle Campground. Yeah. And if you want to check it out, you can go to PAPPYHOEL campground.com and check out in the Full Throttle Saloon, 20th anniversary for the bar this year. But I was out there at the time that the record company called and said, hey, Tom Green's got a new talk show on MTV, and he wants you to come and bring your, because I have that guitar, it's the guitar chainsaw.
Yeah.
I actually posted a picture. I actually found this guitar chainsaw. I put it in storage, and I found it 2 weeks ago, and I posted some pictures of it on Instagram. And, I mean, it's a beast. It's a chainsaw. It's like Jimmy Page's double neck.
Yeah, it's got a chainsaw.
When you know the picture.
Don't grab the wrong neck.
Jimmy Page, he's sitting with his double neck guitar, and he's got his black pants with the dragon embroidered down the leg.
Yeah.
I got one that's a guitar with a chainsaw built in the bottom. It's so badass, I don't have to have a dragon tattoo. embroidered down my leg. But anyway, so I get a phone call from the record company. Hey, Tom Green wants you to be on the show. So I said, if the whole band's not going to go and play, then they said, no, Tom, he plays a little bit. They want to jam with you and want you to bring it out. And I said, well, I'd rather not do it. So then the president of the record company calls me. He goes, look, you need to go do this.
It's big, yeah.
And I said, but I'm in the middle of Sturgis. And he goes, just, we'll get you in and out. Just do it. So I talked to the guys in the band, and they said, look, they said, just go do it, because we try to stay cohesive as a unit.
Sure.
They said, just go do it, but don't come back unless you cut his desk up. And I said, well, I'll do it. I generally, if I tell the guys I'm going to walk through a brick wall, I figure out how I'm going to walk through a brick wall.
Sure.
That's the way we follow each other. We don't let each other down. So they said, don't come back unless you cut his desk up. I said, all right. So I get out there, and I get to the set. And they're kind of freaking out because the chainsaw's with me anyway, right? And security people, the property police officers and stuff,
yeah.
And, on those networks, it was pretty strict with all that. Fire marshal was there. It was a huge deal. So I could tell they were already uptight. And so I didn't meet Tom, never saw him or anything. And then they tell me it's about time to go on. He goes out there. He's doing his thing. He introduces me. I fire the son of a bitch up, run out there. Carve, into the front of his desk, and then cut the corner of his desk off, bury the chainsaw into it, the side. And I sit down, and, the crowd's going crazy and he having a good time. And I'm thinking, me and this guy are going to be lifelong friends. He's going to absolutely... He's going to love this. He's going to grab the chainsaw. He's going to finish his desk off, and we're going to have something to talk about. This is going to be the beginning of something really good, because he had built his career on messing with people.
Right, of course.
It was something you would think he would do. He would get it.
And right. You would think he would just jump in and, one-up me and finish his desk off, And I sincerely believe that. And I thought just the element of just the spontaneity would be great. And I thought 100%, I bet everything I had, that he was going to be dead on all about it. He was not. and so he sits there, and he just became more and more just bitter about it. I mean, just while we're sitting there talking, just snidely. And
what did he say? Like, what was it?
I don't know. Yeah, real cute with your little chainsaw. And and I'm thinking, okay, now he's playing me. This is the way he's going to do it. He's going to play me.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's just giving me, and I'm kind of just shucking it off, thinking that he's going to write. And he just kept on. And finally, I'm thinking, I may just have to reach over and bust him in the damn mouth, because I'm not, because he's not as cool as I thought he was.
You're getting legitimately angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't get legit, but I was thinking, there's only so much, I'm only going to handle so much snide stuff, I'm going to reach over and backslap. slap you. Yeah. You know, I mean, you wouldn't hit him. He's not the kind of guy you'd hit in the face with your fist. You'd just kind of backhand him. You know what I'm saying?
That would work.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you're saying he's not the much of a man.
I'm saying you wouldn't fist fight the guy. You'd just kind of slap him back into line.
Sure.
Right, right.
You kind of back slap him. And I say that joke. I'm sure he's a great guy because I never got a chance to really know. And I do understand everybody probably has their moment where they take their stuff too serious. I mean, we've all been guilty of making mistakes. But so we're sitting there, and he's starting to get out of line. And I'm thinking I'm about to have my limit of him. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking to the producer of the show, the director that's out there, within the crowd. And they stop. Literally, he stops the taping. Well, those kind of shows, as you know, you shoot them in real time. You don't stop the taping.
Yeah. Right.
And they're shot in real time. Well, he's stopping the show, and he's thinking that the guys put him up to it, the producers and stuff. And the guys go, I had nothing to do with it. So they kind of get into a spat, and we're off camera at this point.
And he's fighting with his crew.
Kind of fighting with his crew. And then the guy says, you got to keep going, keep going, keep going. So then we get back into the things, we get back into the groove of the show, And he just kind of abruptly ends the thing. So then I'd been up. I mean, I was tired because I'd just flown in from Sturgis, which you had to make three connections to get to L.A. out of the Black Hills of South Dakota. So I get back. My publicist is losing her mind. She's one of the biggest publicist firms in Rogers and Cowan, one of the biggest publicity firms in the country. And she's losing her mind to Karen Sundale. Livid about me doing that. She put stuff in her car. She takes me back to the airport. Takes me back to the hotel, drops me off at the hotel. She skids off. She'll never work with me again. She's gone. I'm thinking, good God.
But they know what you do.
Everybody pissed off the Tom Green show. My publicist, she's mad at me. She dumps me off at the hotel. I go in the hotel. He says, Tom Green called the show called, and you do not have a room here tonight.
They canceled your room?
Yeah, and I'm going, and I'm so tired, because I had not had any sleep, and I'm thinking, whatever. So then I just get back into a cab. I go out and grab a cab, throw my chainsaw. I mean, can you imagine a cab driver? You're throwing chainsaws. Throw chainsaws in the back of the cab, and I go down to the airport, and I literally just found the first flight that was back toward Rapid City, South Dakota, and I just laid down in the floor until the next flight left.
Oh, jeez,
and went back out there, But that was kind of that story. And again, I've never met Tom Green, and I'm sure he's a good guy. But here's the rest of the story. So the network, they lost their damn mind. Come to find out, that was a replica desk that was supposedly made identical to the first desk Johnny Carson ever had. And that they'd
it's a replica.
And they'd
Who cares?
$8,000 on having this desk made to look just like Johnny Carson's desk. And he was livid because that was his pride and joy because they'd had to fuss with the network to get the budget to do it.
Well, there was probably five times. He probably only used it five times after.
I ended up having to send them $8,000 for the
night. Are you kidding me?
They were losing their mind about it. They were threatening all kind of stuff. So we cut them a check, sent them, and then he made about three shows after that where they actually showed the new desk being made, and it ended up being the ongoing part of the show. And then, again, I don't know the guy, and I'm sure he's a great guy. Just he was taking himself serious as a talk show host, and. Yeah, I keep blaming him for that. It just didn't go well for me.
All right, Jesse James, Sturgis is the big thing for you guys. What else do you got coming up?
Well, I got Sturgis, South Dakota. That happens the first week of August out there. We have the Full Throttle Saloon in the Pappy Hoyle campground. We did six seasons of the Full Throttle Saloon reality TV show. And when the original bar burnt down, 3 years ago, we had, $10 million worth of ashes and no insurance and a lot of hurt feelings because of no insurance. But nobody got hurt or killed. So we moved down the road. We got 600 acres now. We have the Olympic-sized pool, a grocery store, a restaurant, a helicopter pad, a firing range, and shoot 50-caliber guns, machine guns, Uzis. We have a dirt track. There is pre-1920s Harley-Davidson's, 300 cabins, RV hookups, the official campground of Harley-Davidson, the official campground of the Wounded Warrior Project. Mm-hmm. You guys need to come out and be part of it. Come broadcast. We have stations from all over the country that come and broadcast. Got your name all over it.
Oh, yeah?
Y'all should come and be part of it the first week. So we got that going on. Jackal's out doing about 100 shows each year. Still as lethal as ever. The Jesse James Bourbon is just opened up. We were in about 24 states up until this past year, and now we're opening up into all 50 states. We got the honey bourbon, the regular bourbon, the spice bourbon. We actually have a heavily allocated a blue label single barrel Tennessee whiskey that we make in Trimble, Tennessee, and a little town of about 650 people. And the town was going to be bankrupt. Mm-hmm. They were going to file to be unincorporated. And we went in and opened up the distillery and a little barbecue restaurant. And now they bought them a new police car and building a new fire station. And wow. So that's a pretty cool
whiskey
story.
Whiskey saving lives.
Yeah, exactly. Doing the Lord's work.
Will you take this guy right here, John Wallach, machine gun shooting?
Yeah, come on. I sure will.
All right. Let's go.
In Trimble, Tennessee,
the
barrel house in Trimble, Tennessee sits 15 foot from the railroad tracks. So five times a day, the locomotives come through and shake the barrels. So it's locomotive agitated whiskey. And people ask me what it tastes like. I say it tastes just like Johnny Cash. So it's good stuff.
Dead or alive, Johnny Cash.
So I hope you guys have a great Super Bowl, and congratulations on you boys getting down into.
We're used to it.
Yeah, you're used to it. I don't have a dog in that fight, obviously. I mean, I quit.
Are you a Falcons fan?
I'll be honest. You know, I quit watching football when Kenny Stabler retired. Y'all may be too young to remember him.
I know Stabler well.
Kenny Stabler was my quarterback. I love it. And you know, the day that they clapped down and the players weren't going out there either drunk or hungover from the night before. Joe Namath sleeping with Raquel Welch the night before the Super Bowl. I mean, these guys just don't have it together like they used to have it. And it kind of lost its luster for me. But but I will tell you that it amazes me how hated Tom Brady is.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, the guy's hated. And again, I don't have a dog in the fight with these guys that are playing. But I will – and my wife's from Indianapolis, so she's always been big Peyton Manning. So she roots against Tom Brady. But I went and saw that the background on that guy.
Yeah.
And his dad making the VHS tapes to try to get him placed somewhere, and nobody wanted him. And he goes to college, and, he's just like a professional bench setter, supposedly. And then, 100th round in the draft, there's never been a bigger underdog. As far as I'm concerned, that story, and his dad's the star. I love his dad, the story of that. But there's never been a bigger underdog ever than Tom Brady. And he's even to this day, he's still under just because of what he overcame with that. And I can identify with this guy. And I'll just tell you, because I grew up having to work construction and pouring concrete and stuff. And I used to look at my hands cracked with sulfur when I was going to, try to play guitar, and my hands would be all just eat to hell. And I said, one day I'm going to be a big rock star, and I'm going to have the lights and the PA systems and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not going to have to – my hands aren't going to be cracked like this from the sulfur and this kind of. And so every day – because I've been blessed. I mean, so blessed with my dreams coming true and the different things I get into between the TV shows and the liquor and this, that, and other. Every day that I wake up with anxiety. I mean, I seriously wake up, and I'm in a panic because I think it's all been a dream.
You and me, too.
And I think it's all been a dream, and that I've actually got to go pour concrete today. And as soon as I realize that I don't, I get up and I take as big a bite out of life's ass as I possibly can. And I can only imagine, after the story that I read about Tom Brady, that guy's got to wake up every single day going, I could be selling cars today.
Yep.
Selling cars. Yep. And he's got, and that has to fuel that dude's fire. So I can only imagine. But, it's amazing to see the record that the team has got. And I love that facility up there. We actually played it. We actually had Daryl from Run DMC was with us last time we played at Foxborough, whatever that little.
Showcase Live.
I just had a blast. What a great view. I'd like to get back up there sometime.
Awesome. Well, it was great. I mean, listen, it's great having you. As I said, we're running in the same circles, apparently, out in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yeah, there you go.
Kenny.
Good for you.
Mandatory law, every household has to own a gun.
It's the law. You are vouching for me.
Okay, yeah. I didn't believe him when he first said
that. And what's the phrase? It's the law.
It's the law in Kennesaw.
That's right. Oh, my God.
And the USA Today actually did a story some years back now, like on the 20th anniversary of them passing that ordinance, And the crime rate, the population in Kennesaw had, quadrupled, and the crime rate had not went up 1%.
That isn't quite true.
Yeah, that is the truth. But I'll be honest with you.
I say let's do this nationwide.
And I'll be honest with you, it's hard-pressed to find a good Southern accent in Kennesaw anymore. There's too many damn Yankees moving in down. Georgia's grown so much, and it's continuing to grow. But, yeah, Kennesaw, still Kennesaw.
Wild man's still there.
Well, it's good to see you fellas, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for allowing me to come on here and talk to
you. Oh, no, man. Yeah,
you guys are coming.
That's right. Have a great day. Stay safe, buddy.
Go by. Bourbon Whiskey. We are at the Super Bowl Georgia World Congress Center. We'll be here all week, as will Felger and Maz and Zolak and Bertrand. I saw Zolak going around. He's getting paid to be on people's shows today.
Good for him.
Amazing. Here are the headlines.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
95 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich this hour. The Toucher and Rich Show is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance.
This is tonight is, they're calling it opening night now. It used to just be called Media Day. And opening night has been rebranded because the NFL Network 2 years ago said, everything we do, we know we can market and we can try to sell and make it an event. And so what they've done is they've moved the normal middle of the day type of situation where everyone gets to interview everyone from the team, and they put it on primetime, baby. And it's on the NFL Network, I believe, tonight, starting at 7. And I believe the Patriots are first. Oh, they're second. Okay, so the Rams are going to be first. And the way that they do it, if you've never seen this before, is there's a podium, about 12 podiums that are going to be on the field, or it's not a field, it's actually a basketball place, like it's the equivalent of like the TD Garden that they have here where the Hawks play. So on the floor, there will be about 12 podiums. They have not named, as far as I've seen, who's going to be there in each podium.
This is basically Rich's show. This is where this
I truly enjoy it.
This is where it's Rich's time to shine. I'll tell you this, is that, so this is our fourth Super Bowl. Fifth. Jesus. I have not contributed anything.
Sure you did.
Well, the one time it was Lard Bart and
Indian. That was the first one we did, Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was Indy.
And then since then, I've gotten literally no audio.
No, you've interviewed, like, Stephen Guskowski. You've interviewed a couple guys. And we did something last year. I forget what it was. So it obviously was a hit.
you got Brady to ask if you were on drugs.
Right. Yes, if I was on drugs. Hey, Zolak.
Gronk.
You got Gronk
to read the book.
How many people are paying you right now to do their show?
Scotty Z, put these on. Hey, let me put that on.
Yeah.
Hey, so.
Because there's no way you're here just for fun. How many people are paying you this week to do their shows?
It's a couple events. I mean, I have some events and some meet and greets. I got Rich Eisen after this today.
Okay. Nice. What happened
they
after?
Said I was like the midget guy from Elf. Remember, like, they said, what do you want? Like, we're going to pick you up in a car. I said, I want a Mercedes 500, and I want the climate control to 72 degrees.
Sure.
Two nips of Tito's and soda with twist of lemon. And they said, do you have a handler? I said, yes, his name is James Louth. So Jim Louth's going to be along for the ride, and he's going to be filming stuff.
He's your agent. You give him a little cut of everything.
Yeah, he's my agent this week. No cut. He's just, Jim's happy he's in a real hotel with the soap and a wrapper. He's showing me pictures. I'm like, yeah, Jim, it's a nice hotel.
Nice.
Yeah, it's funny. I booked my own hotel, and then Rich and Wallach got booked at a place that was actually walking distance.
Yeah. Nice. Closer.
He tells his wife, he goes, it actually has a tiled shower.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's not one of those tubs you step in.
Those ones where you have to walk outside.
Yeah,
in
mine's
shed.
One. Mine's a tub. It's all, yeah.
All right, so what happened after Brady throws you the microphone?
I didn't know he was going to throw it. I had my hands in my pockets because it was so freaking cold.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the crowd. I'm getting ready to wrap it up, and he throws a mic. It hits me here, and I almost catch it with the left hand.
Yeah.
But I dropped it. And then he texts me. He goes, just so you know, it's my first and only incompletion of the week.
It's a pretty good.
Hey.
He's fired up.
Nice. But that was, 35,000 people, dude. That's it was nuts.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, as far as the schedule, we had to do bag drop-off between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I didn't have to be there for the rally until 10:30, so I told my wife, I'm going to go drop the bags off, come back, hang out, have coffee, then you take me back and drop me off. So we went back at 9:30 after I dropped the bag off at 6, and we couldn't get onto Route 1, so I started to panic.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? It was a parking lot, and one of the stadies was there, directed traffic. He said, yeah, 495's backed up, too.
Jeez.
Like, what the hell? We were thinking 10, 15,000 people, maybe.
Sure.
Because we did the last rally at the plaza, and you just go up the stairs there. So I said, go in the back way. Let's hope that back access road's open. And thank God it was, because I would have probably, been late to that damn rally, which is crazy. And then you go out, and you start to see, look out on the field, and the whole field is covered with people. It's like
crazy.
Concert. And then you just see it start to fill up in the first level, and it goes around. And you're like, this is unreal.
Okay,
I've never seen anything like it.
So all these years you spent time
players
with
the team. Were blown away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the time you spent with this team, is this the calmest they've ever been going into a Super Bowl week?
It's the most confident, I think. I think that win against Kansas City, that proved that they could go on the road and win in those type of conditions.
Yeah.
Because it was freezing there, man, and the field sucked. But this is as confident a group as I've seen. They got health. That's the one big thing. I mean, they can just rotate people, and they got a running game.
First time in like 6 years that they've had a fully healthy team has been playing in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah, it's either you don't have Gronk or you don't have Edelman. This is the first time they're together since, I think, the Seattle game.
Jeez, man. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Well, that's I mean, it seems that way. Like, they've just been very calm. It's like, not only that, just because it's old hat and they've been there, but it's different. It's not like last year. Last year was a little strange.
Knock on wood. Like, not one offense. It's continuity. You talk about continuity in an offense. You're five guys up front. You know, to stay together and block for 10 straight games is huge. So, I mean, they have continuity up front.
All right. I just heard Donnie Deal. What do you got together? Your phone going off?
Going off. I was just talking to my boy Boomer over there. I'm pissed. Pissed off. I got this kid up in Mass. I'm trying to get Maryland to recruit him. 6'5" quarterback. Boomer's like, I'm done. I'm done sending people there. So we just had a rip session on the Terps.
Ask Boomer where our candles are.
Ask her if he misses us.
He doesn't miss you guys anymore. Yeah. This is good, though. It's going to be a fun week, guys.
It'll be good, man. Yeah,
good
seeing you, man.
Eastern time zone. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The Eastern time zone.
It doesn't suck. It doesn't suck. But it's fun. It's weird because tonight when we go out to opening day, you know, I'm still trying to write down stuff and questions and things like that. But one of the guys we talked to last year was Kyle Van Noy. He was great. He's going to get a podium. You have to think he'll get a podium.
Yes, he will
time.
Get a podium.
Because he's been good. Like, and on Zolica Bertrand, he's been great. But he said something on their show the other day that was kind of interesting. He was kind of the first to admit that the reason this year they feel so dialed in is because last year and the feeling that you had after losing the way that they did to the Eagles sucked. And it stung, and they realize at this point that they never want to feel the way that they felt walking off that field and blowing it. And, you know, obviously it's on the defense. Tom Brady had one of the best games he's ever had in the postseason in that thing. And so they obviously knew that was going to suck, which also got me thinking, you know, if they win the Super Bowl on Sunday, does that kind of lessen the asterisk that Bill Belichick had because of benching Malcolm Butler?
No.
You see, I think that one was such a kick in the nuts.
Philadelphia will always be the one that got away.
Listen, if Seattle wins three more Super Bowls, are they going to forget about what happened?
Malcolm Butler, no.
See, I think that was such a kick in the nuts because most people thought, well, that was our last shot. That was it, and you blew it.
Maybe.
If they win this, I think it softens the blow.
They were favorites coming into this season.
Who?
The Patriots.
Their favorites?
Yeah, a lot of people thought they could get back to this point.
Sure, but I mean,
assumed health of Gronk. We didn't know all the stuff they were going to have to go through.
But everyone saw that the team was tearing itself apart because of the Seth Wickersham thing.
Right, could this be damaging? And then there was a comparison to Seattle because after they lost the Super Bowl, they spiraled out of control. But I don't think anyone thought that the Patriots didn't have a chance to get this far.
If they win this, I think that it makes the little... It softens the blow. If they never win again after that, if that was their last chance...
Patriots fans will always remember this. Will always be part of Belichick's legacy. Other than being the best coach in the history of the game, you will see there will be a paragraph under Belichick's bio and in every story that's written about him.
That was their last chance. It would have been that way.
I disagree.
Super Bowl. Doesn't matter.
Of course he did.
He blew the game.
What? But he won six.
I understand.
That's why John just said he's the greatest coach of all time.
But all negative things will be attached. Right. Also, the Spygate thing will be attached to him. The Deflategate, even though that wasn't his fault, will be attached to him. This decision of Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl will always be there.
It's one of never the all-time. Going away.
Should I ask Bill that tonight?
Sure.
Why did you bench Malcolm Butler?
Bill, a year has gone by.
I'm going to do it. I'll ask that.
Even better. Bill, a year has gone by. No. I think it's time. Can you tell us why you benched Malcolm Butler?
No, I'm just going to say, Bill, why did you bench Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? I'll never stop asking that question. I'll never not be fascinated until a true answer comes by. I'm just going to ask him.
Now, Robert Kraft, will he have a podium?
No.
Okay.
No, he always stands. Slice. No, that's true. He always stands off to the side. He'll be on the field, though.
Hot dog talk with RKK. We talked to Jonathan, not on the radio last year. We talked to Jonathan. But
that's right. Yeah. I mean,
get Robert and just be like,
let's talk hot dogs.
Hey.
Let's talk doo-wop.
How about I bring a nice grilled hot dog slice?
No, even better. You could bring the hot dog slice, but even better, maybe this is your opportunity to discuss rappers with him.
All I want to do is talk rappers and footwear with him.
Why not give – this could be your chance.
Listen, I'll do it.
Why not do it tonight?
Why not? I just want him to go through his phone book. Just say, I want you to call the coolest rapper in your phone book
but
right now.
But this is it. This will. This will. You can cut
the
red tape.
Give me the band Jordan 1.
Do you like Ya Kid K from Technotronic?
Hey, look. This
pump
is
up
your
the
jam,
baby.
All those
pump
phone calls. All those phone calls you made, and you're like, well, you know, maybe he'll do it. Maybe he won't do it. The man's gonna be there in person tonight.
Hey, oh yeah.
Hey, cut Jazzy. Through the red tape and go talk to him.
Hey, Jazzy.
Jazzy Jim. You like the summertime? You know RKK does.
Perfect.
It's you know, where you make nice grilled
like
hot dogs.
Jonathan sliced. Over here always said, I didn't understand.
It's good.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I think that tonight I at least have to ask Bill Belichick why it's a pitch fucking
yeah.
Because in the sea of, like, you know, like questions that don't really mean anything, isn't that really the only question we want to know the answer to? When it comes to Bill Belichick, isn't that really it?
Yeah, but you know what the answer is.
If he
be.
Doesn't answer it, should I just sit there and wait and ask it every, like, 10
no,
minutes?
He's there. Not going to answer. He's going to say, I'm not worried about what happened last year.
You know what?
Year.
I'll ask him it 6 times today.
Then you're going to get smacked.
Excuse
in the face.
Me, sir. You'll have to come with us. That's
going
to
happen. This is why I'm useless okay. at these things.
Listeners, at Touch or Rich, can you give me 6 different ways of phrasing the question, why did you bench Malcolm Butler?
Yeah.
Because I'll do all 6. It's honestly the only thing that I want to know. Bill, we know everything. We honestly know everything about Bill Belichick. He's gotten to the point where I know he's like Mr. C. I don't care. That's the only question
I
want.
Do you
know.
Have a Bon Jovi tattoo?
I think we've done that before.
Have you asked that?
Have
you asked that before?
Somebody said, you guys still talking about Malcolm Butler. Has that been proven like a dozen times that it was the right call? No! They lost the Super Bowl.
No.
How is it the right call? They lost.
He didn't play well this year. But no.
You would have helped last year. Yes, I don't care what
his
issue
was. You had to make one
like.
Stop. Yeah. All you needed was one simple
Johnson
stop.
Johnson bat a Mosey and make it to tackle. Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well, very good. We will be back with Jeff Howe. He's swamped at 9 in the
Can't
morning.
Can't be here in person, so we're going to have him on the phone.
I just like that Zolak is just – Jim Louth is his
– consigliere.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not even. He's like his –
Handler.
Handler.
Yeah. Handler, Jim's fine bouncer. With her. Jim's fine with
her. Well, yeah, I think he gets a cut.
No, Bullock stood here and said he didn't.
No, he gets a cut.
He's Mr. Move Aside, let the man go through, let the man go through.
Right.
Even though it's not necessary. All right, we'll have Jeff Howe for you. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.